Ravi is a fictional character, but what they went through is happening across West Midlands today. This is their story. In one of the worst off constituencies in England, healthcare training places sit empty while wards struggle with chronic understaffing, and qualified candidates are turned away from nursing programs they've been accepted to join. The work that could save lives and ease pressure on emergency services goes undone, not because the people or capacity don't exist, but because someone decided the budget couldn't stretch.
I grew up helping my parents run the corner shop on Church Hill. Mum always noticed how I was with customers who'd come in after hurting themselves. Gentle hands, she called it, the way I'd help them with plasters or just listen when they needed to talk. When I finished my A-levels at King Edward VI Five Ways, I knew I wanted to work in healthcare, but I also knew I needed experience and money before I could train properly. So I got a job as a healthcare assistant at Birmingham City Hospital. For 3 years, I worked on the wards, learning from the nurses, watching how they cared for people during the worst moments of their lives. Every shift confirmed what I already knew. This was exactly what I wanted to do with my life. The nurses I worked with encouraged me to apply for training. They said I had the right instincts, the right attitude. By 2022, I'd saved enough money and gained enough experience to feel ready. I applied to the University of Birmingham nursing program. The acceptance letter came in May. I still have it. Congratulations. We are pleased to offer you a place on our Bachelor of Science nursing program starting September 2022. I was over the moon. I called my parents, told my colleagues, started planning. Then I went to confirm my place. That's when I met Health Education England. The woman at the desk was apologetic but firm. I'm sorry, but there are no funded training places available this year. The budget allocation has been finalized and we simply cannot afford additional places. I showed her my acceptance letter. She explained that academic acceptance and funded place allocation were two different things. The university wanted me, the NHS needed nurses, but Health Education England's budget couldn't stretch to cover my training costs. It sounded reasonable. Disappointing, but reasonable. Everyone has budgets. Everyone has limits. So I spent another year working as a healthcare assistant, watching the wards get busier, watching nurses work double shifts because there weren't enough of them, watching patients wait longer for care. I saved more money and applied again in 2023, this time to both Birmingham and Birmingham City University. Both accepted me academically. Both times, Health Education England said the same thing. The funding has been cut. We cannot afford to run those additional program places. That's when I decided to visit Birmingham City University to ask about self-funding. The nursing department was in a modern building, well-equipped, well-maintained. But as I walked through the corridors, I noticed something strange. The lecture halls were mostly empty. The simulation labs, rooms filled with hospital beds, monitoring equipment, everything you'd need to practice nursing skills, were dark and unused. I found Dr. Sarah Collins, one of the senior lecturers. She was kind but frustrated. "We have capacity for 200 more students," she told me, "but we only have funding for 50 places this year. Look around. We built these facilities to train nurses. We have the lecturers, we have the equipment, we have everything except the funded places." She walked me through a fully equipped training ward, real hospital beds, the latest monitoring systems, medication trolleys, everything arranged exactly like a working ward. "This sits unused most days," she said. "Not because we don't want to use it, not because students don't want to learn, because someone in Westminster decided we can't afford to fill it." I stood in that empty training ward and started to see the contradiction. The people existed. I was one of them, standing right there. The skills could be taught. Dr. Collins and her colleagues were ready to teach them. The facilities existed. I was looking at them. So what exactly was it that there was no money for? That same week, I bumped into my neighbour Jake outside the corner shop where I grew up. He mentioned his own struggles trying to get onto a transport training course. The same story of funding cuts and empty places. It wasn't just healthcare. It was everywhere. I started asking different questions. If the government issues the pound, if it literally creates the money we use, how can it run out of money to train people for jobs that desperately need doing? I wasn't asking them to import nurses from some other country. I wasn't asking them to build new universities. The people who wanted to train were here. The universities were here. The training facilities were here. I began to understand that when Health Education England said, "We cannot afford additional places," they weren't describing a law of physics. They were describing a choice. Someone in HM Treasury had decided that connecting willing people to needed work was less important than keeping the training budget low. They dressed that choice in the language of necessity, but it was still a choice. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still here, still working as a healthcare assistant, still watching the wards struggle with the same staff shortages that could be solved by training the people who want to do this work. I know now that my story isn't unique to Birmingham Northfield. It's the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard was never bare. It was locked.
What Ravi experienced has a name, fake experts. This technique works by citing economists or commentators who treat the household budget analogy as self-evident truth, as though repeating it makes it true. It's like tobacco companies in the 1960s finding doctors willing to say cigarettes were harmless, then citing medical opinion to dismiss health concerns. The credentials were real, but the conclusions served the industry's interests. In Ravi's case, every time Health Education England said we cannot afford additional places, they were applying household logic to a currency issuer. When challenged, they pointed to economists who agreed that government spending must be rationed like household spending. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation, they claimed. But which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say without naming them is an appeal to unnamed authority. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources. People, skills, materials, time. And in Ravi's constituency, those resources were sitting idle. Willing students in empty lecture halls, unused training wards, qualified lecturers ready to teach. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Birmingham Northfield ranks 66 out of 543 English constituencies on the English Indices of Deprivation, 2025, placing it in deprivation decile 2. The constituency has 2,351 registered charities, according to the Charity Commission Register. Total grants received amount to £52.3 million, according to 360, giving Grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.